Glenn, good morning.
Hi, Sean. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Thanks. Thanks for joining us on the program.
No worries.
So, sequels, reboots, remakes, and now prequels. Is there a great hunger for this amongst movie audiences, or have film studios just given up?
I wouldn't kind of call it giving up, but I think it's kind of there's a mix of numerous of those elements. So, I mean, I guess that it's a trend that's gathered pace in recent years, and as much as anything, it's that kind of gathering pace is linked to the purchase of media of kind of much loved franchises by media conglomerates that then want to kind of get value from that purchase. So if we kind of think, I guess, of something like Disney and Star Wars, that would be kind of the first driver for this trend. I also think that, I mean, you're right in the sense that there is this real kind of desire from film studios and from kind of TV channels to extend the life and the reach of a franchise as long as possible. And they have much greater confidence in the success of those shows and properties because they have a ready-made fan base.
I guess one of the key factors in this one is nostalgia. And whether we're talking prequels or whether we're talking reboots or even original ideas, there still seems to come into play this this great desire for nostalgia that's turned over really, really quickly, I would say, with current generations. How much can we attribute fan nostalgia for some of these decisions around popular franchises?
I think that's certainly part of it. And I don't think of nostalgia as a negative emotion or feeling either. I kind of think of it as a way in which we kind of go back to those much loved texts as a way of dealing with our present kind of challenges and lives, and so I guess that in some ways in this period of kind of incredible turmoil, and even in the last 15 to 20 years, that might be a kind of a cultural driver for this kind of greater nostalgia as well. So this kind of need for fans not so much to go back to what kind of how things were, but to go back to those much loved texts to kind of help them through their current everyday lives.
And just on that sort of idea of a cultural driver as well, and going back to these texts, we've seen the way in which fans engage with properties change, I think, a great deal in more recent years. Certainly the advent of social media and the tightening of relationships between fans and creators might have something to play with that one. But you think about the way fans engage with something like Game of Thrones, where there was always these fan theories coming up, or other properties we've seen prequels already for, like the Solo film saw Han Solo complete the Kessel Run, and there'd been fan theories about that one for years and years. Or we saw in Captain Marvel Nick Fury lose his eyes, and there'd been theories around that for years and years. Are some of the fan theories driving this desire to capture those stories in, well, the actual media itself, within the films themselves?
Yeah, I think there's a much kind of clearer dialogue that occurs between fans and producers, and many of the people that kind of create these texts are fans themselves as well, and I think that's kind of more evident nowadays. And I suppose it's also kind of part and parcel of, a lot of fan activities and fan behaviours used to be kind of considered marginal, but now kind of fan activities that were once considered marginal are very much mainstream now. So for people to kind of to read about shows, to kind of post those theories, people are very much more engaged and more kind of a greater part of a property's fan base is more engaged than in previous generations, in part because social media and digital media, I guess, just make a lot of those kind of fan communities kind of more visible and make it kind of easier and faster to kind of share information and to share those theories and ideas and that love for the show. But I also think that we also see that fans just really want to spend more time in that world. And when we see this proliferation of TV channels and a proliferation of streaming services, there's this kind of clamour for more and more content to fill those, and that kind of then matches with, you know, fans' desire to kind of just keep in, kind of to stay in that world that they love so much. And and fans seem to mourn the end of a lot of these shows, and so by going back to before the beginning, in a way, is a way to kind of delay that sense of an ending.
And just before I let you go, prequels versus sequels. Is there an argument to be made that with these prequels, though, you know, maybe spending time in these same universes, but we know how those universes are going to develop, even in very popularly acclaimed shows like Better Call Saul or those Star Wars ones that I mentioned there before. Is there a lack of stakes given we know how the story ultimately will end?
No. It's kind of seems counterintuitive, but a lot of horror fans, and we kind of talk about this a lot in horror film, a lot of horror film fans kind of know the particular, how kind of the beats of a particular horror film, so a slasher film or something like that. They kind of have a sense of how this will end up, but there's real pleasure in watching that journey and the twists and turns that get us to the end that we expect. And so there's real pleasure in seeing how we got to the beginning, and there's also greater freedom for the creators as well. I mean, a sequel needs to build on the world that we've just that, you know, from the original film, but a prequel can kind of focus on characters that I guess that are kind of that were surprising or were kind of smaller characters, and kind of show, kind of fill out their backstory. And there's real pleasure for fans in seeing how we get to the beginning.
Well, Glenn, do appreciate your insight into this one. Appreciate your time this morning.
No worries at all, Sean.